That is our heart's desire. Go ahead and grab your Bible. Go to Colossians chapter 1 is where we'll be today. Colossians chapter 1. We'll look at verse 21 and 22 and 23 this morning. I don't know about you, but I kind of get emotional when I think about graduation and moving on to that next phase of life. And so I'm so thankful for those that graduated this morning. But I want to get a quick lay of the room here for just a moment, just to see where we stand, because all of us here at one point have been through some sort of graduation, or we will be someday. But how many of you have graduated like from 2010 up to now? Anybody in here that's sort of in that? Raise your hand real high. Get a lay of the land. All right, from 2010 to 2015. All right, good deal. How many of you guys graduated in like from 2000 to 2010? Lift that hand up high. Don't be ashamed. All right. Okay. How many guys graduated in the 1990s? Okay. Cool. How many guys graduated in the 1980s? All right. Don't be afraid. Come on. Some of you are like, oh, is he going to keep going? Come on. How many of you guys graduated in the 1970s? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. How about the 1960s? Okay, all right, we got some folks in the 1960s. How about 1950s? Yeah, how about 1940s? Anybody in the 1940s? No? For those of you graduating this year, you just saw hands go up all around. I want you to understand that there is a ton of wisdom as folks raise their hands that you can turn to. That's one of the greatest things, guys. You see, when I was about to graduate, I thought that I knew everything. I thought that my parents were like certified idiots. You know what I'm talking about? Right? When you're big for your britches and you think you've got the world all figured out, and then all of a sudden you graduate and you recognize, I don't know anything. Right? You been there? Can I get a witness? Y'all been there before? Suddenly mom and dad look like sages, don't they? They are so full of wisdom, and you got to call them and hey, tell me this, how to do this. And so I quickly realized that I've got a lot to learn. And so you guys have a church family, and your the family that you were born into to turn to, and I pray that you guys would utilize them. And so in this season of graduation, I'm so proud of our Eastwood graduates. But you know what? I'm proud of all of them, not just the ones at South Campus. And, you know, Christy and I had an opportunity to come to the graduation banquet that Pastor Michael put on here. And we saw that video from like baby to graduation, and then he put together another one. I'm just going to be honest, man, I cried like a baby back there. Just watching that video, I didn't do it this morning, but that night at the banquet, it just hit me. It made my heart happy at all the sight of these godly young men and young women that have been raised up here at Eastwood. And as I just wiped away those tears, I thank God. And one of the things that sort of hit me is that I can't believe how quickly it's been between my graduation and now. We'll soon celebrate like 20 years. And some of you are like, that's nothing, 20 years. But it won't be long, and my graduating class will be 20 years down the road. And it seems like only yesterday that Pomp and Circumstance, the song that they marched into, that it faded. But here's the deal. I say this to all of you who are in the graduating class. Pomp and circumstance will quickly fade for you as well. And although in a real sense graduation feels like the end of something, it's actually the end of the beginning. And so I'm so thankful for those of you who are graduating this year. I'm so thankful for every one of you who have graduated from something. Some of you have been through multiple graduations. Lord willing, next year I'll attend my fourth graduation. So I'm thankful for that. But it doesn't matter how many graduations you've been in, there are some things that we should never graduate from. Amen? Right? You know, there are some things, no matter how many times you graduate, there are things in our life that you and I should never graduate from. And so as we think about being steadfast, being stable, even as we leave these institutions of higher learning, I believe that Colossians chapter 1 has a lot for us to think about here in this text, particularly about being steadfast and being stable. So let's look here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Look at what it says. The Word of God says this, Jesus that is, it says he, but Jesus is who that pronoun's talking about, has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Look again, verse 23 particularly there. I want to zero in on verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. You and I must continue in the faith. You and I must stay stable and steadfast in our faith. That means that you and I, there are things in our life that we should never graduate from. I don't care if you were in the class of 1960 or the class of 2015. If we're going to continue in the faith, if we're going to be stable and steadfast to prove that we've been reconciled to God, then there are some things that we should never graduate. So building on that for today's takeaway here in the message is simply this. There are four things that I pray that you never graduate from. And here's the first one. I pray that you never graduate from your Savior. I pray that you never graduate from your Savior. Smelly gym socks? Leave them behind, all right? I mean, there are some of you who still have like clothes from high school, right? I mean, I've still got t-shirts like from football in high school. It's like, man, those things should have been left in the locker room a long time ago. Leave the basketball team, the football team, the track team, the band, all of those things behind. Leave chemistry, leave algebra, leave calculus, leave world history behind. School lunches, can I get amen? Leave them behind. But don't ever leave Jesus Christ behind. Never graduate from your Savior. You don't take Jesus and put him away like your diploma. Put it in a lockbox for safekeeping or in a frame for everybody to see that's on your wall that you look at every now and then. That's not how Jesus is supposed to be. You don't take him off like you take off your cap and gown and throw it in the air. Listen, it says in Romans 13, 14, listen to what it says about Jesus. Romans 13, 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The picture there is clothing, that you would be clothed in Jesus. And my prayer is that you would never take him off. That's the implication from that you would never take off Jesus. Because let's be honest, graduates, you're going to need him. You're going to need him. And I would argue that you're going to need him now more than ever. Would you, previous graduates, would you agree with that statement? That they're going to need him now more than ever? Listen, you who are graduating 2015 here, you're coming into a season of life where you will need Jesus in ways that you didn't even realize. As you come into your own there, mom and dad, they won't be standing over your shoulder anymore. They can no longer make you do anything if they were able to make you to do anything before. So what you're going to do, see, is now you're grown up. And Jesus must be your Jesus. You've got to take ownership. And I pray that you would never graduate Jesus. You see, following Jesus, it's not on again and off again. It is a continuous thing. That's what it says in Colossians. That it's a continuous thing, that we're to be stable and steadfast in Jesus. He's to be our hope up until our day of graduation, and then from there on until the day that we die. Never take him off. Never graduate Jesus. And if we continue in the faith, the Bible says that Jesus will receive us into heaven. Second, I pray that you and I, and these graduates this morning, never graduate from the church. Never graduate from the church. You know, to be honest, I mean, we should never separate following Jesus and being part of a local body. All right? I mean, that shouldn't be two separate things. It's not like, well, I think I'll follow Jesus and not go to church. Or it shouldn't be, well, I'll go to church, but I'm not going to have anything to do with Jesus. They shouldn't be separated. They should be one thing, but we do know that people will claim to follow Jesus, but have little to no connection with the church, his bride. And for you who are graduating this year, that's going to be a particular temptation for you. That's going to be a particular temptation that every one of you are going to face. You very well will have to, you'll have no trouble in continuing with Him as your Savior and Lord. You'll claim Jesus probably, but you'll be tempted to begin to lay out of church. You'll be tempted to do something else on Sunday morning. There'll be some distance that'll come in between you and the church, His bride. Tom Rainer and Sam Rainer, who are with Lifeway, and they wrote a book called Essential Church? And they found in that, it was a research book, and they found that between the ages of 18 and 22, 70% of the young folks who were attending church in high school stop attending church in college. 70%. That's two out of every three. Two-thirds stop going to church. I don't know about you, but that figure scares me. I mean, that disheartens me. I mean, that makes me sad. But I pray that that stat would not hold true here at Eastwood. I pray that we'd blow that. I pray that five out of five who are standing up here will be found faithful and connected to a local body. What were some of the excuses that they gave in that study? They said things like this. Well, I just moved to college and I never got connected. I just moved to college, I never got connected. Or number two, one of the excuses they gave was that work squeezed out church. How about some of them said, I just moved too far away to go back to my home church. They said, I just became too busy. Number four, or number five, they said, I just made better friendships with people outside the church. And so graduates of this class, I want to ask you, will any of those excuses become your excuses? The Rainers summed it up this way. They basically said for these graduates that church became non-essential to them. I pray that every one of you, I pray that every one of us, again, I'm not just talking to 2015 graduates, I'm talking to all of us, that we would see church as essential to our lives. We need the church. Jesus Christ saved you and me to be part of a local body. You see, where we can be loved and supported and grow and be held accountable and to serve others in the name of Jesus. We get the picture of what the church is to be from 1 Corinthians 12:12. And it's that picture of a body where it says this. It says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. You see, every single person in the body of Christ is essential, is important. We need every one of us. But for one of us to go off on our own is kind of like a hand running away from a body, man. That's weird, right? I mean, we would freak out if a hand was running off from our physical body, because the hand needs the body for fullness of life. And the body needs the hand to have a fullness of functioning. Eastwood Baptist Church is your body. And I pray that every single one of us here, whether these graduates, whether they stay local or whether they go away to somewhere else, I pray that they would continue to be part of a body. Listen, if you move so far away that you can't attend Eastwood Baptist Church, guess what? There's probably a church there too, okay? You know, when I moved away to college, the Lord saved me at the age of 17, and there were great churches around Hanover College when I moved to Southern Indiana. I moved 4 hours away from my home here. And I found churches that love me during college, and I promise you, no matter where you go, and I know most of ours here are going locally to Western. And so I pray that you would stay a part of this body. And soon you're going to be in college, and we've been there before. There are going to be people who are talking about join this fraternity or this sorority, and you're going to have brothers and sisters and all these things and these Greek life clubs. But don't ever forget where your real brothers and sisters are. They are in your blood kin, and they are in your blood bought sisters and brothers in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't ever graduate the church. Third, I pray that you would never graduate from the body. Again, not just graduates here in 2015, but all of us. That we would never graduate from the body or from the Bible. You see, college is challenging in so many ways. I mean, you're going to be challenged. Maybe you didn't even have to study in high school, but now when you get into college, trust me, you're going to have to study. I found out the hard way. but particularly the Bible is going to be challenged. The Bible we know is infallible, but that doesn't mean that people aren't going to take the opportunity to try to knock it down, to try to kill it in your eyes. That's what they're going to do. Most of your professors will challenge you in some way, maybe even every day, to look differently at the Bible, to look down on the Bible, to graduate from the Bible. They'll do it overtly, and some of them will do it just more implicitly, but it will be challenged. In the biology department, you may be challenged to just drop all faith. Quit that faith stuff and just believe in science, man. Quit this faith stuff. I mean, let's get with the scientific method and do all of this stuff. And they'll primarily try to do that as they try to convince you of the theory of evolution. Of course, they're blind to the fact that evolution itself is built on faith. That theory is built on faith. I wish somebody had told me that before I went to college. The theory of evolution is built on faith. It's faith in the wrong thing, but it's faith. You see, the theory of evolution is not observable. It's not repeatable. It calls for complex systems to leap into existence. It calls for life to spring out of nothing. And they call us the ones who believe in faith? Come on. Listen, they have the same data we have, don't they? And by faith, they say that nature did it, which I believe is logically impossible. But by faith, we know from the authority of God's word that God did it. And I believe the data points us to the fact that God did it. Don't ever graduate from the Bible. In sociology and anthropology and psychology, in those departments, they're going to try to teach you that truth is socially constructed. That man just gets together and through different forms and conversations over the course of time, they decide what's right and man decides what's wrong. If there's no God, and if he's silent about truth, then guess what? They'd be right. If there was no God, and if God was silent about truth, then there would be no absolute truth. But guess what? God is, and God is not silent. Amen? He has spoken. Therefore, because he has spoken, and because he has declared what is right and wrong, where absolute truth stands, then you better believe. You better believe that absolute truth is not socially constructed. It is divinely revealed from God. Don't ever graduate from the Bible. In philosophy or religion, you might be challenged with some question like, and they always stroke their chin, right, professors? You know, they're in deep thought. Can God build a rock so big that he can't move it? Undoubtedly, there's some atheist professor on a college campus just can't wait to ask some unsuspecting Christian maybe that question or another one like it. Perhaps it would be in a philosophy class. For me, it was in my theology class. I was required to take a theology class in my college. And that question got thrown out to me, and it's supposed to put you in a catch-22. Can God build a rock so big he can't move it? It's supposed to shake me, because if I answer yes, then I say God can't do something. And if I answer no, then I'm also saying that God can't do something. Either way, the goal is to make me doubt God. The truth to that question, guys, can God build a rock so big he can't move it? Here's the answer. That is a logical absurdity. Write that down, graduates. Logical absurdity. If you got to go look that up, go look it up, okay? The omnipotence of God, as stated in the Bible, does not mean that God can do whatever you and I imagine. There are things that God, even though he's omnipotent, although he's sovereign, although he's almighty, and can do all things he sets his mind to, there are some things that God cannot do. He cannot cease to exist. He cannot sin. He cannot create a round square or make 1 + 1 = 3. Those are logically impossible, yet God is still almighty. If I'd only known this then. As I said last week, don't ever forget what the Bible is. Don't ever forget what the Bible is. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every good work. Guys, it's the authoritative, trustworthy, without error Bible. And in it, you'll find the way to blessing. You'll find the way to truth. You'll find the way to a life that pleases God. You'll find the way to a life that God will reward in the end. Don't ever graduate from the Bible. Then finally, I pray that you would never graduate from your family. That goes for all of us. I pray you would never graduate from your family. No, your family's not perfect. I've met them. And they've met mine. Mine isn't either. And guess what? You're not perfect either. We all have issues that we're working on, right? But your family has loved you. They've cared for you. They've sacrificed for you. They've held you when you cried and in disappointment and hurt. They've cheered you on in victories. I pray that even this season, as you transition to college, particularly for you 2015 graduates, as you transition into college or into the workforce or into adulthood, that you will cling to your family. You're going to need their guidance. You're going to need their finances. Yeah, you're going to need their finances. But most importantly, you're going to need their love and support. They want to be there for you. They want to help you along. They want to help you navigate these waters that are going to be choppy and you don't know which way to go sometimes. They want to be there to help to guide you. So I pray that you would never graduate from your family. Colossians 1, 22 and 23 says this. Let's look at it again. We read this in the beginning. Jesus has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, became a minister. As you graduate class of 2015 and as you stop going to high school, may you continue in and never graduate from Jesus, the church, the Bible, or your family. I pray that these things would be stable and steadfast in your life long after pomp and circumstance fades. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to just share a word of encouragement today. Father, a word of hope that's found in Jesus, that they would not sway to the right or to the left, but that in all things they would continue stability, steadfastness. I pray would mark their life, particularly when it comes to their hope in Jesus Christ. And Father, for those of us who have already graduated, is there someone here this morning, Lord, who is struggling? That they're being swayed to give up on Jesus or to give up on the church or to give up on the Bible or to give up on their family, God. I pray that we would be encouraged by the word we've heard today to stay steadfast and true and to continue in the faith. Father, help us now in this time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together for just a moment as we come to a time of invitation. We don't do this out of tradition. We want to give you a genuine opportunity to respond to the preaching that you've heard today. To give you an opportunity to respond maybe to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Maybe today the call to you is not to continue in the faith, but to begin in the faith. Maybe today's the day that through the witness of the Holy Spirit it's become clear to you that you need Christ as your Savior. The promise is if you'll come to Him, repent and believe on Jesus, that you will have life everlasting, sin forgiven, life renewed, hope for heaven. And so if that's you today, if the call to you is to begin in the faith today, would you do that? I'll be right here. I would love for you to step out from your pew, come forward. I would love to begin a conversation with you about how you can be saved. Maybe part of your continuing in the faith is that God is calling you to join this congregation in membership. And So again, I'll be here. If God is calling you to join with this body in covenant membership, I would invite you again at the invitation time to step out from your chair, come forward. I would love to meet you right here and to talk to you about what God's doing there. And of course, the platform's open. You can come and kneel, pray about whatever's on your heart. Maybe you want to come and pray for the graduates. Or maybe there's a wayward graduate that you know of. Just use this time to be obedient to God. I look forward to meeting you right here and talking about what God's doing in your life. Pastor Mark?